Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we've got a coach. How about it?
Penn State found, they found a head football coach. After it crumbled, pardon the pun, literally, in the last second, you know, there was Matt Campbell sitting there on a lot of initial lists. If you went back and looked, you were like, you know, Matt Campbell, you know, 60 days ago was day whatever, 54, they got him. Press conference 3 days later. If you go back and look at the initial lists after they fired James Franklin, he was in that, you know, 8 to 10 guys who Penn State should be looking at. So better to be lucky than good, Jimmy, is what I say. I'm sorry. Better to be lucky than good. They got what looks like the right fit, but they were very lucky. That's all I'm going to say. I think they were better lucky than good. And it was very fortunate that Matt Campbell was sitting there for Penn State. And that's my two cents. They were better lucky than good.
Well, we'll get into that lucky aspect of it. But first of all, I take it by that statement, you feel like they got it right.
Well, they got a good one, right? They got a good one. The process was still horrifically flawed. November 30th came and went, and a recruiting class was left in shambles. They were scrambling to find somebody, anybody, after the shiitake, you know, thing. And there was Matt Campbell. So did they get a good one? Yes. Did they get it right? Absolutely not. This is what was sitting there for them with 54 days to find it. I don't think they got it right. That's why I say they got lucky. But yes, they got a right guy. I think they absolutely got a right guy on about 9 or 10 different fronts. He's a long-term guy too. He's not like a short-term hire, not an interim fix. He's a real long-term guy for this program. So they got the right guy. Did they quote unquote get it right? I'm sorry. I don't think their process worked.
Well, let's talk about that process a little bit. Sitake was the one name that it's pretty much confirmed that they definitely went after him and didn't get him. Other than that, and one could question whether that, you know, was that a mistake? It took, you know, last minute BYU people throwing a boatload of money at him to keep him there. Okay. So I'm not so sure that was Penn State losing the guy as much as it was BYU winning out in that one. They really took action to keep their guy. Other than that, how do you see the process as being flawed?
Not the first 45 days, Jimmy. That's everybody had, they just had more time. Everybody had the same opportunity in that first 45 days. Yes, that is who Pat Kraft settled on as his guy. But that can't be your end plan. Mutual interest. Okay. Here's what I go in depth on. If that's your guy and you want him, that's good. Go after him. But you have to know what you're going after, too. You're going after a horse for the course. You're going after a guy who's, you know, a graduate of BYU, played for BYU, is already the BYU football coach. put those in place. I'm going after this guy. This is my guy. That's who I want. However, I'm going after a horse for the course. I'm not going after an open market guy. Shiitake was not an open market guy. This isn't one of the guys in the open coaching market. What is my plan B, C, and D after Shiitake? They didn't have one because the very first time he talked to Matt Campbell was Wednesday night. After, you know, the prior week before he went to him. That's the first time him and Pat Kraft had spoken. Right? When Shiitake was a no and said he's staying at BYU, you could just tell by everything that Penn State was scrambling. With all of that time, you never should have been scrambling if you had a full understanding and process of what you go. Yes, Shiitake was our guy, and he left you right at the altar on wedding day, standing there with the ring in your pocket and the preacher up in front of you. However, in this scenario, in the coaching search, what's option B? What's option C? What's option D? Nothing is final until that guy signs the contract, and you have to keep multiple irons in the fire. Now, they were already a little bit behind the eight ball because all those coaching positions had already been filled the weekend prior. So the pool was limited, but you still have to be doing it. So I think the fact that Matt Campbell hadn't been contacted by Penn State until after Shiitake said no was still sitting there, B, and C was actually willing to go and leave Iowa State for Penn State. It wasn't, he's had job offers before, Jimmy. That is very clear. He has had big job offers before, but he operates from a different motor up, you know, up. He operates from a different sort of operator modi. He does not work in what is best for him, the football coach. He has a bigger calling and picture that he looks at. And the fact that the Penn State job fit that for him and his family, again, better lucky than good. All the pieces had to fall in place for them to get Matt Campbell. And it's actually a little bit surprising on many fronts based on, you know, some of the schools that have gone after him before that he said yes. So that's how I say more than anything, they got lucky. And that's why in my evaluation of their long-term process, first 45 days, fine. Last 10 days, absolute dumpster fire train wreck. Lucky than good.
You mentioned that Matt Campbell had many other opportunities, bigger opportunities than Iowa State, yet Pat Kraft was able to convince him to go to Penn State. Does he not deserve credit for that?
Not a lick. Pat Kraft had nothing to do with it, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be honest with you today, Jimmy. I'm not salty. I like Matt Campbell. I like Pat Kraft. I just don't think he did a good job here. I don't think Pat Kraft had anything to do with it. I think the Pennsylvania State University and the history and the timing and the fact that Matt has a daughter, his oldest daughter is going to George Mason to run track. This puts him closer there. This is a job he's sort of quietly in his own mind and in his own sort of circle. He coveted this job. That has nothing to do with Pat Kraft. That has everything to do with Penn State, the program, the university, where he grew up, his history, you know, with Terry Smith. I think Terry Smith also had a very instrumental role in this, not directly, but indirectly. So Pat, I don't think it was Pat Kraft, the salesman out there making Penn State look attractive. I think it could have been, you know, Mickey Mouse could have been selling Penn State University. Matt Campbell, the timing was right for Matt Campbell to be the buyer, and anybody could have, you and I could have been selling it to him, Jimmy, and he would have bought it. That's how convicted he was of this job.
Andy, I think you are shortchanging Pat Kraft on this, but so be it. You made your point. You got it across. Now let's talk about Matt Campbell and the job. And you and I have talked quite a bit about, you know, fit, not right just guy. That Satake, I didn't believe he was the right guy. Perhaps Pat Kraft thought he was, maybe he would have been, but I think that there's, you know, geographic fit. You know, this is a guy who hadn't done anything east of the Rockies. He hasn't recruited here, hasn't coached here, hasn't played in this area. Where Matt Campbell, I think going into this, Andy, I thought of him as a pretty good fit, Midwest kind of guy and values, kind of a Big Ten-ish kind of guy. It wasn't until we found out more, though, that I found out he's kind of a Pennsylvania-ish kind of guy. I know Ohio, coached in Ohio, but it sounds like his family tree has Pennsylvania roots. He followed Penn State as a youngster. There's much more of a Penn State connection here than at least I was aware of.
Yeah, there's it's a Pennsylvania connection that has Penn State part of it. You're 100% correct. Massillon, Ohio, right? Like, you're going to know Todd Blackledge. You grow up in that town, right? Coached at Toledo, recruited Pennsylvania, not just Western PA, at Toledo, recruited Pennsylvania hard. He recruited the Harrisburg area, Harrisburg players, Central Dauphin, Harrisburg, Cumberland Valley, Toledo players when he was on staff. He recruited hard in this area, recruited Philadelphia hard. It was sort of home turf for him. Yeah, you didn't know the family background, but he knew the landscape of Pennsylvania football and understood it. Now, he revealed to us all that he had some sort of history that was near and dear to him that nobody really knew about, and this was the right time to let that show. And that even, talk about winning the press conference, that endeared him to Penn State fans. Like the first 90 seconds, you may as well drop the mic, Matt. You were done. You won. And the emotion he showed wasn't necessarily for Penn State. I thought he was very clear in iterating his love for Penn State and his understanding of it. The emotion he showed early in his PC was because that was a hard heart move for him to leave Iowa State, and it still hurts. So, but the way he laid it out was beautiful. Won the press conference, 90 seconds in, dropped the mic.
All right, Andy, that will be the last word for quarter number one. A lot more to talk about with Matt Campbell and this Penn State team. We'll do that right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. Andy, we're talking about this Matt Campbell hire for Penn State. Couple things really stuck out to me in the press conference, Andy. As you said, he won it right away. First of all, there was at least I bought it as genuine sincerity, and it didn't sound calculating every word out of his mouth like a certain other coach that we're all very familiar with. So I think that was a nice change of pace. I also thought it was interesting. I took notes on how many Penn State mentions he made. Paterno, Blackledge, Kyle Brady, Courtney Brown, Jack Ham, not to mention Cale Sanderson, Governor Shapiro. He has a Penn State background. Doesn't mean he went to Penn State, but he's not afraid to show his Penn State love.
Yeah, the knowledge he has of Penn State is deep, right? Like, it's not, he's not a, it's not a, you know, this is what I grew up. 100%, I was like Penn State only, and Penn State was it. But it was enough of an influence to stay with him through, you know, four decades of his life to when he ends up as standing at a podium as the Penn State head football coach. It's not even a stretch for him to say that. Like, it's part of who he is. Carmichael, Pennsylvania, right? His family, his wife's family, grandparents, you know, coming from, you know, blue collar background. So here's what I think about Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell has, that endears him to the sort of, he's a blue collar guy, right? Like, but he has now found a way to be, stay true to his blue collar self, but ascend to white collar executive management. And one of the great things, and I have a little bit of a working relationship with Matt from when his early years of when he was the Iowa State coach, he is big on the word we. He doesn't use family a lot, except when he's talking about his wife and kids. He's not a we are family guy. He uses the word we a lot. He uses the word us and they a lot. And by they, he refers to the players, right? Like they, this, us, that, the coaching staff. We, us, we, they. You won't hear a lot of, you know, a lot of the I. You won't hear a lot of, you know, we're a family. You know, you won't hear a lot of marketing shtick. You will not hear marketing shtick out of Matt Campbell. That's just not what you're going to get from the guy. So there is an endearing sort of blue collar quality to him that makes him fit as the right guy for 9 of the other 10 boxes he needs to check. That I think is part of why he is the right fit for Penn State. He's still got a hard job ahead of him. I read some stuff and watched I watched a really good podcast he did. I can't remember the guy. He sat down for like a 30-minute interview
with Josh Pate.
Yeah, that was a great. Did you watch that, Jimmy?
Some of it.
Yeah, you should go watch that, Penn State fans. You get a good 30-minute peek. That Josh asked him some good questions. It was a great interview. I'm glad I took the time to watch it. What I took away from it was Matt knows exactly what he's walking into, and he's not gonna sugarcoat the expectations and make this not look harder than it's gonna be, because there's some elements in play here that he understands greatly. So, you know, you're not gonna get marketing from him.
All right. I think also something that stood out was his relationship with Terry Smith. I had some concerns that, you know, this was something, you know, perhaps Pat Kraft said, okay, Terry Smith got to be part of your staff. When you force someone on a head coach, oftentimes that doesn't work. Matt Campbell was able to convince me that he wanted Terry Smith there, and the fact that he had a prior relationship with him helped. Now, part of any transition to a new head coach, though, Andy, is it's a coaching staff turnover. We've already seen it. Ty Howell is going with James Franklin to be offensive coordinator. Danny O'Brien is going to be quarterback coach down there. Yep. And it appears Jim Knowles is on his way out. None of this is any surprise, Andy. But how many do you think there's still guys that are currently part of the Penn State staff that Matt Campbell will look to retain?
I'm not saying I don't know, but I think he will look at the Penn State guys closely, and, you know, Dan Connor, you know, you look at Trace. Is Trace the next quarterback coach? Is he ready? Is he what Matt is looking for? This is where the Terry Smith relationship comes in and is key, because I think Terry, as the associate head coach, can help Matt and give his opinion that helps Matt make those decisions. Terry's not going to tell Matt what to do. Terry's not that kind of guy. Terry, ask question, we'll get answer from Terry, and you will get what Terry believes is his conviction. Deion Barnes. Is Deion Barnes my DC, or is Deion Barnes a D-line coach? What do you think, Terry? So in terms of the guys that are already running back coach, 1 year, new guy, think he's going to stay. All of the guys that are Phil Troutwine, right? Offensive line coach, throw him in there. I think Terry's opinion will matter to Matt, but it won't guide, it won't, it'll only help Matt make the decision. It's not going to guide Matt to make the decision. So look, after what he, the way he spoke and understood, like it was almost like he walked into the press conference and he had been coached on what to say to the Penn State football audience. That includes the fans, the lettermen, right? The players that are already there. He, it's, it seemed like he had spent like a week in, you know, press conference coaching and preparing for it, because he hit every single note correctly right out of the gate, like he had been prepared for it. That's part of why he's such a great fit. It's not coached. It's not prepared. He just, that is who Matt Campbell is, and that is how he's going to shape his coaching staff.
Well, I think also, Andy, obviously it's up to him to keep guys, retain guys, let guys go. I think there's some obvious places. I don't think it's any surprise that there'll be a change at defensive coordinator. Jim Knowles will leave. We haven't heard it yet. I don't think it'll be any surprise if we have a new offensive coordinator here. That those are positions typically the new coach will want to bring in. I think you could name names. There'll be a new wide receiver coach. There'll be a new running backs coach. I've already heard some, you know, places where Stan Drayton is talking to already. I think it becomes, okay, who are the handful of coaches? Troutwine had a great reputation coming to Penn State, has done a pretty good job with the offensive line here. Then you also have to factor in who is the guy doing that job currently for Matt Campbell, currently, or, you know, at Iowa State, and will he want to bring him in? I think some of the folks, Dan Connor, I saw something where it looks like Dan Connor will probably remain. You know, you mentioned Trace McSorley. You know, it becomes a case where does McSorley want to be? Is his loyalty greater to Penn State, or is it greater to James Franklin, the guy who brought him here, brought him to Penn State? And remember, Trace is from Virginia also. So geographically, that may be attractive to him to head down to Blacksburg. Which, by the way, just as a quick aside, what do you think of the staff that James Franklin is putting together? He brought Brent Pry back as his defensive coordinator. He took Ty Howe. You can't blame Ty Howe for leaving Penn State.
No,
he's getting a promotion to a coordinator position. Danny O'Brien is heading down there as the quarterback coach. What do you think of James Franklin's staff that he's putting together?
Leopards don't change their spots, Jimmy. He's a marketing guy. He's going to go with the guys that will follow his blueprint. That's what he's going to go after. He's got a defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator that'll follow exactly how he wants to run it in his likeness and image. Not a surprise at all that he's taking guys that are going to do exactly what he wants. And that's kind of always been the way. You know, if you kind of look at it, Kotelnicki and, you know, wasn't one of those sort of James Franklin guys. Obviously, the DC wasn't this year either. So, you know, I think it doesn't surprise me at all, because he's going to take the guys that know the ropes. That's James.
Well, and he's also, you know, that's the negative spin. I think the positive spin is these are people that he's worked with previously, and he has some confidence in them.
And they're good at what they do, right? Ty Howell's a great football coach, right? We can agree on that. Ty Howell probably, he deserves to be an OC. Remember, wasn't he an interim OC and did some, he's ready. It's his time, right? He knows exactly, Brent Pry is not a bad football coach, right? Brent Pry is I think Brent Pry is a really good defensive coordinator. Got to start somewhere, right? And Matt Campbell's going to bring the guys he wants with him from Iowa State. There's already a few of them that have disappeared off Iowa State's website as coaches. Interesting that as of yesterday, when I was looking stuff up earlier this week, the DC is still listed that was the DC under Matt Campbell at Iowa State. He's still listed as being there, which I find interesting. So Matt will fill his staff within a week, maybe two.
He has to, Andy. I mean, yeah. That's, because he's going to be recruiting, hoping to convert some of these high school players. The transfer portal is coming up. You need your staff in place to handle those kind of things. It's going to be a very busy, very hectic couple weeks for Matt Campbell. All right, Andy, that's going to be it for quarter number two. Coming up, quarter number three, we take your questions, we ask Andy right after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions and we're going to ask Andy. You ready for this, Andy?
I'm fascinated where we're going this week. I wonder what the Penn State fan base has to ask us this week. Let's go.
All right. Let's start with Rob in Burbank, who says, say you're hired as the new head coach at Penn State. Ooh. Unfortunately, Andy, that job's already taken.
It's taken.
I was lobbying for it. For a while, I thought I had a shot. I really did, Andy, but what changes do you implement on day one? For me, I'd put the school logo or emblem on the 50-yard line. The other was to keep Terry Smith, and that's been done. So we're off to a good start. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your work and effort and reporting the goings on. So, Andy, let's say you're whispering in Matt Campbell's ear. What are you telling him he should do right off on day one?
So I have three things on day one that come directly to mind. Figure out which four coaches on this staff he wants to keep. Give them the opportunity to say yay or nay to stay, and obviously give the ones that are not going to be on your interest chart, let them go find jobs and do what they need to do during this open coaching period. They need that opportunity to do that. So know the guys on this staff that you want to keep, right? That's one. Know who your top three guys are on your internal list to be your OC and DC. Know who they are right off the bat. And then thirdly, have conversations with your associate head coach about all of them and what he thinks and find out his input. You are in full agreement and compliment with Terry Smith as your associate head coach. Use him as the asset that he is. Bring him along for the ride while you're making these kind of decisions. That would be right out of the gate to answer Rob's question. It's a great one. I like it.
Well, Andy, I think, the first couple answers are pretty straightforward as far as you know, what any new coach has to do. I like your third one, you know, which essentially is lean on Terry Smith a bit for advice on, you know, how much of this staff to keep, which guys you keep, which guys maybe you wouldn't be as interested in keeping. And if you trust Terry Smith, you know, he can give you a lot better advice than just one sit down with a specific coach for half an hour. But I think also, you know, I think what Rob was looking at was, okay, what about Penn State as a whole? What would you do? Here's what I'm thinking, and I believe that Matt Campbell has already done this, is he's not denying the Penn State's history, which has been going on for a while. And I understand why it has. You know, it was some very tough history that Penn State was dealing with a decade ago. Now it's time to heal those wounds and acknowledge what happened, not just in the last 10 years, but in the last 50 years or 80 years, that there was Penn State football here. There was a culture that Penn State fans have been very proud of. Acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to mention Joe Paterno's name. Don't be afraid to mention, you know, some of those players from that era, you know, like you mentioned, Jack Ham and Todd Blackledge, and have those guys be part of the program. All right, let's move on. Let's go a little off topic, Andy. This comes from Chris in New York. Full disclosure, he's my nephew. He didn't send this through Ask Andy. He sent me this text message, but I want to get your take.
Okay.
Do you agree that Notre Dame should have been left out of the playoffs?
Oh, no. I mean, what the heck is Alabama doing in this dance? That's it. All the other decisions have merit. I can see Miami, Notre Dame head to head. Okay. I get it. They play. Miami won the football game. I get it. Equal, all being equal, and they're equal, right? The records are equal. They played head to head. I get that one. That one's redeemable. What the heck is Alabama doing in there? What the heck are they doing in there? I don't care. They played for their conference championship. Yeah, they were the second team that made it in, and they got gobsmacked in the game. What value proposition? What is the value proposition other than the name Alabama Crimson Tide that gave an entire committee the license to say they deserve to be in over Notre Dame? That's my question. I don't, not at all. I think Notre Dame got hosed. They didn't even have any indicators that they were sort of in jeopardy as a bubble team, right? Like, it was almost like you didn't see them as a team in peril in the last two or three weeks of the rankings. The committee didn't even send up a white smoke signal to them. But at the end of the day, they were just like, yep, we'll nix you. So, no, I don't see any. I think they got hosed.
Andy, you ask, why should Alabama be in? Well, Paul Feinbaum says they should be in. Isn't that good enough for you?
Yeah. Grumpy old man. Yeah. No, we're going to make this square peg fit into a round hole no matter what. That's it.
Well, it does bring up the question. I'm in agreement with you, Andy. And by the way, I haven't heard whether Paul Feinbaum said that or not. I'm just sure that he did. Okay. But here, which tells you what the bias is there. Now, I don't like Notre Dame, so I'm happy they're not in it, but that's my personal bias. That has nothing to do with whether they deserve to be or not. But it leads to the question, how much weight should be put into these conference championship games? There's kind of this feeling that, gee, if you earned your way into the conference championship game, you shouldn't be punished if you lose that game.
It's the $64,000 question when they went to 12 teams. That was, what the conference championships came out of necessity in the 14 college football playoff era. What was their value, or what were they going to carry when it came to the 12 team scenario? And we're starting to get a picture that maybe just qualifying for it matters. And doesn't matter what your record is, doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. If you make it, that gives you a better opportunity. That's the message they sent.
Well, and my feeling is the conference championship game shouldn't be everything, but it should be something.
Okay? It should be something.
The game was played. To me, I look at it as the tiebreaker. Maybe if that game went into overtime and Alabama lost, I'd feel differently. But as you put it, they got gobsmacked.
That's got to run over.
It's got to mean something. All right, let's go to John in Kingston, who says, now that Matt Campbell has been hired and Terry Smith is staying, is there any chance Penn State can flip some of the recruits that got away? Also, what do you think James Franklin's biggest obstacles will be trying to build the winner at Virginia Tech compared to doing it at Penn State?
So I'll take the first part of the question first. I don't know that the recruiting class ship has sailed, right? Like, and Matt knows that. It's not can they get any of them back. It's what do they do with the little that's left in the pool going forward, right? Like, you're not going to get back any of those 11 guys that went to Virginia Tech with James Franklin, for example. Maybe you can get one guy who, you know, who decommitted and hasn't recommitted. But that's not something you can plausibly put your time and talent into. It's not a good value proposition to take that time. And what does James Franklin need? Money, and frankly, just can he be better in big games at Virginia Tech? That's it. I don't think he's going to inherently win as many football games because he's starting from a different talent level point to build up in. The league is certainly easier. That will help him. The ACC will be a more James-friendly league for him to have some success sooner than later. But still, ultimately, because he won't be able to unhitch the U-Haul of the big game James and the record that he carries with him. He won't be able to run away from that. That will follow him and be part of his Virginia Tech resume.
The big game thing, yeah, that reputation has been set. You know, every big game that he's going to play, you're going to hear that narrative. I think the challenge is, you know, Penn State, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, Andy, but Penn State is a blue blood. And with it, it's a 100,000 seat stadium, large alumni base, the money, the infrastructure. Heck, they're investing $800 million in renovating their stadium. There's a huge staff. The football building's been updated. None of those things are there at Virginia Tech, Andy. It's a different world. I know they're looking to invest more money.
Correct.
But I think they've committed to it. But, Andy, that doesn't change their infrastructure. It doesn't, you know, change their staff. It doesn't change the fact, you know, our colleague Mike Filigrana, who had worked at Virginia Tech, shared down – Penn State has a building that's the football building. Virginia Tech doesn't. It's an all-athlete, all-sports building. So they all share the offices. He said, you know, the football staff at Penn State would not fit in the Virginia Tech building. It's just a different world, Andy.
It's a different world. And a commitment to spending more money and getting them to actually do it are two different things. And to me, the biggest difference is at Penn State, you know, they're going to spend the money. They have the resources to spend it already.
All right, Andy, that's going to be it for quarter three. And Ask Andy, when we come back, we're going to look forward a little bit what's going to happen with Matt Campbell, staff, players, when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, I just want to talk a little bit about, you talked earlier about the mess that was the process of Penn State hiring their coach. What we didn't talk about was the mess that was created by Pat Kraft with that meeting that he had with some of the players. The audio got leaked. Yep. By the way, it's fascinating to me how short the news cycle is. Hiring Matt Campbell, all of a sudden, we're not hearing a whole lot about that meeting anymore. But what I find fascinating, Andy, is as much of a mess as it might be at Penn State, you think this is the worst it could be. All of a sudden, you have, you know, Ole Miss and their mess with Lane Kiffin. You have LSU with Brian Kelly. They're going to court, finally, you know, settling his money. And then Michigan says,
Michigan,
hold my beer.
Yeah, right. Hold my beer. We're firing our coach for cause. And now as we're sitting here recording this, he's sitting in a jail cell charged with a crime. So, yeah, Michigan. That, you know, if you think about it, in the Big Ten, I'm just going to say it out loud. Boy, Michigan says, hold my beer, and anybody else that's looking at their roster and their recruits is going to be like, hey, I'll take your beer. Right? Like, if you're another Big Ten school, you're looking in the transfer portal era, you got to be shopping. Michigan players are now in the window. They're in the window. Go window shopping.
They are, Andy. And like somebody just said to me, it's like, you know, Michigan can't help themselves but cheat in every sense of the word.
I mean, look at it. Penn State's players and roster, they were in the they were in the window, right? In the interim basis. Recruited players, gone. You expect transfer a good number of transfer portal players as soon as the bowl game is done. That's going to become very clear and apparent that they were being window shopped well before this, because they're going to have, you're going to find, you know, up to, I would say, a dozen players are going to find homes in an instant where, you know, all of that was taken care of beforehand. So the Michigan window shopping is now open, Jimmy.
Officially open. All right, let's move forward. Let's segue from that. We're talking in quarter three with the questions about, you know, Matt Campbell, what he could do. Couldn't he get some of the Penn State former commits to recommit? But what you have also, Andy, is James Franklin took all of those Penn State commits with him to Virginia Tech. What you're also going to see is, I think, some of the Iowa State players who committed there or are playing there, possibly transferring to Penn State. And hey, if Matt Campbell could identify players at Iowa State who he thinks could help, you know, so be it. But Andy, I always talk about the quarterback position being so important. There's going to be an interesting decision made by Matt Campbell. Ethan Grunkmeyer or Rocco Beck, who was his quarterback at Iowa State, who still has a year of eligibility left.
Yeah, it's which one do you want to quarterback your team, right? Grunkemeyer's put some film down. Now he gets to look at him closely, right? Like he's inside the building now at Penn State, right? Like he'll be going to bowl practices, right? Keep your distance, coach. Terry Smith is still sort of running this team, but keep your distance and view from afar and observe and take in the elements that you're looking at that help you make a decision of where you want to go next. And he gets an inside baseball look. So he has a huge advantage there at the quarterback position, right? Like he coached the one guy. Now he gets to look at the other guy on the inside. He's just not watching film on him. He gets to watch it from the inside. That's a big deal for me. So poor Ethan spent a year auditioning to be the backup, right? Then Drew Aller gets hurt. He's the starter. So he's auditioning again. Now he's got to audition again because it's a new coach, right? And he's, good for him. That shows the mettle of the man, right? Like he's being tested. Good for him. There is something to look at. Still a good quarterback. A guy that's taking steps forward. What does Matt think and what does Matt look for? You're going to learn a little bit in where he goes and what
okay,
he does.
Okay, fine. Andy, that's fine. Matt's going to decide. How about if Andy Shea has to decide? Which way would you go?
I would go towards Ethan because in this transition time when you, and I think Matt knows this, there's going to be a step back taken just because of all the chaos around it. You're going to have transfer portal. How are you going to build? Matt even kind of hinted at it. He's like, we have to see what we can do to be competitive. He kept saying this. We have to make sure we do what we can to be competitive in 26. But understand, are we looking at being that program in 26 or are we going to have to wait and look at it and be that program in 27? So I think Ethan and the teammates and for sort of the health and safety of inside the locker room, there isn't anything that tells me that the Iowa State quarterback is a must-have. He's not a must-have. Ethan can do the job inside the building already. I think there's value to that in this transition period. That's just my two cents. You asked me.
I did. And I'm in agreement with you, Andy. I think the fact that, Grunkemeyer could be here more than one season is helpful. The fact that he's already here, I think it will be interesting to see if it's wholesale changes, meaning, how many other guys hit the portal, or will there be, a new core of the young players at Penn State who will stick around, and Grunkemeyer not only is part of them, he's maybe the leader of that group. So him sticking around might be part of the other guys sticking around. And it's not even, our players going to say, oh, well, if Grunk sticks, I'll stick, but more the whole tone that, hey, this core, I like this young core and want to keep them around. Now, we're talking about players sticking around, not just for next season, but more immediately, Andy, the bowl game is coming up. We've already seen at the time of recording, Zane Durant, Zach Wheatley have already announced. I'm sure there's going to be more guys who aren't going to play in the bowl game.
Yeah, you'd have to think maybe half a dozen. Don't you think, Jimmy? I mean, is tonight Dennis Sutton going to play? Singleton, Catron Allen?
I think
offensive linemen?
Those guys who you think are NFL players, I think that they, have put enough on tape. They're better off getting themselves ready for the combine than they are risking injury in the bowl game.
Correct. That's the conventional wisdom. I think there might be one or two. I feel there could be one or two surprises in there. And this is where Terry staying and Terry being part of Matt's, high end of Matt's staff and being the coach right now. They are the players that are already there that are at that level. They're not going to have any conversations with Matt. They're going to have all those conversations with Terry. And something just tells me, I don't think Terry's going to say like, well, we need you to play. I don't think he's going to do that. But I think it just feels like there might be a surprise or two. in a player that's going to participate in the bowl game. It could be limited participation, but I think there might be some participation by some players that might surprise you. That's just a gut feeling. And Terry's going to help them navigate that decision.
Yeah, and I think we all could identify the guys. It doesn't take a lot to understand who are the guys with NFL careers coming up. It wouldn't be hard to identify those players. The other thing, Andy, and you mentioned it, you know, this is going to be Terry's team through the bowl game. But and this I really appreciated in the press conference. Matt Campbell essentially said he'll be walking a fine line. He'll be there, but trying hard not to interfere.
Yeah. He will be what you talk about when you talk about old school and golfers and the caddy. Show up, shut up. You can show up, but you really need to, you know, at least for just a couple weeks. There's 62 other things that you need to focus and work on behind the scenes. Bowl practices and being on the field, yes, you need to be there, but really the program doesn't need you doing your job there yet. That's the way I look at it. They don't need you doing your job there. There's enough other elements of the job that you need to be working on and focusing your time on. That actually should be like the 2 hours of your day when there's a practice. That should be your nothing box when it comes to the program. Because you're not going to have, you don't have any say or influence per se right now. And that's going to be hard for him. Yeah, he admits it. Like, this is what I do. And that's going to be hard, but there's actually stuff that really needs your attention and time that you need to be focused on. This doesn't need to be it. And he knows that, but he's still like, this is still going to be hard. I don't want to do it like this.
Well, but it will be valuable time, though, for him to essentially scout the players, but also scout the coaches. Correct. You know, if Jim Knowles is out as coordinator, is somebody else doing that job? And, you know, Matt Campbell could, just say it was Poindexter, just for a name. He watches him and says, you know what? This is a guy I really want to keep on my staff.
Yeah, you should keep that guy. He's really good. I hope they keep him. He's number one on my list of the guys that I hope Matt keeps in terms of football-wise. I just think he is elite and exceptional at the job he does. Is he ready to be a DC? Matt gets to decide that. All indicators are yes, but man, oof, that's a guy you want on your staff. Whoa.
I think he is a guy that you want to keep. And that's the ability to, you know, scout these practices. Absolutely. You're also, Matt Campbell is scouting the coaches too and deciding who he wants to have stay on his staff. All right, Andy, so much to talk about, so much we're going to have over the next several weeks. This is just the beginning of the Matt Campbell era. Andy, thank you for your expertise. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.